Our study continues in the 28th chapter of 1 Samuel. We're ready to begin at the 19th verse. And the setting for this passage is that Saul has the army of the Israelites encamped, ready to do battle with the Philistine army. He sees that he's greatly outmanned. He sees that the Philistines are going to be able to overcome them. They have more heart about this battle. He's let his nation run down, and the defenses of it have become less than should be to defend against this great Philistine onslaught. And so Saul is terrified, and he seeks after some information from God as to what he should do. But God does not answer him. He goes to the prophets. He tries to get God to answer him in dreams. And even he seeks some information from the high priest through the Urim. But God does not answer him. So he goes in disguise to this witch at Endor. And witchcraft and those that would use familiar spirits has been outlawed in the land. It's against God's law. And by using a disguise, he's able to get this witch there, this woman at Endor, to use her ability with familiar spirits to get him some information as to what he should do. And she brings back Samuel from the dead to talk with Saul. Now, we feel that this is an evil spirit, that this is not the true Samuel, that this is a delusion produced by the devil, allowed by God to make Saul think that Samuel is speaking to him. And the message that Saul receives is not a good message. Anytime we go from God, away from the institutions that God has left us, away from the due process of approaching God, and we approach some other spirit, some other means of getting divine information, we're not going to have any good come of that. And in Saul's particular case here, the message he received was a very bad message. This spirit tells Saul that the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy. He further tells him that the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executedest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Now no doubt Satan was involved in Saul's not carrying out God's command. He apparently had a hand in deceiving Saul into thinking he could not fully carry out God's command about Amalek, that he could save some of the spoil and sacrifice it to God and everything would be fine. And this helped Saul then to disobey God, to commit this great sin that lost him the favor of God. But now he gleefully, the same spirit, Satan gleefully tells Saul that he's going to be lost, that he's been condemned for having done this. And so it is with us when we sin today. Even though Satan may lead us into it, Satan may influence us to do it, in the end, Satan will rejoice at our destruction. He will rejoice at our condemnation. And much like Judas, when he realized he'd done the wrong thing in betraying Christ, he went back to those high priests, and they said, "That's your problem. See thou to that. That's no problem of ours." He could not undo the sin that he'd done by going back to the source, because Satan rejoices in our eventual destruction. Verse 19, the Spirit further tells Saul, "Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee to the hand of the Philistines." So he tells Saul that you're going to be defeated. You and Israel are going to both be overcome by the Philistines. And he further says, "And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me." That is, you're going to be made to die. You're going to leave the fleshly body, your fleshly existence upon earth, and you're going to join the rank of the dead. You're going to be with me. "And the Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." So he simply tells Saul what's going to happen. And we know that had this been the true Samuel, that he could not have foretold that event unless God had revealed it to him. And though it were an evil spirit, God might by him also foretell what was going to happen the next day. As we read of an evil spirit that foresaw Ahab's fall at Ramoth-Gilead and was instrumental in his fall in 1 Kings 21, beginning with the 20th verse, and perhaps this evil spirit was, by the divine permission, also involved in Saul's destruction. That evil spirit flattered Ahab This one frightened Saul, and both that they might fall. And so those that are under the power of Satan eventually are going to have a miserable end. Well, after this message was given, in verse 20, then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was so afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him. Now, after receiving this message, it was not what Saul wanted to hear. Saul came and asked what he should do. But the message didn't say anything about what he should do. The message only said what was going to be done to him. And it was all going to be bad. And so Saul fell as though he had already been pierced through by the arrows of the Philistines. He falls to the earth. He was sore afraid. He has so much fear that he's not able to stand. He's not able to even leave this place. And he further had no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. He had not eaten, not because he didn't have anything to eat, but because he didn't have any appetite. He was a victim of fear. He was a victim of being terrified at what was going to happen. He could see he was a man that had enough experience with battle and warfare and armies. He could see that he was in for a defeat, and he was wondering what to do. He was seeking after some help, but he was seeking for it in the wrong way. So we see a very sad picture of Saul. He has secretly come to this place by night, in disguise, to get information from a witch, to get information in an illegal, ungodly manner. And at the end of it, the message that he's received is so terrifying to him that he lies prostrate on the ground, unable to get up and walk away. Well, verse 21 says, and the woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him. So she sees that he's in quite a predicament. She certainly doesn't want him to die here, for though she has been guaranteed that she will not be punished for being a witch, should he die here, she could be punished as being a traitor. She could somehow or other be connected with his death and have a bad end herself, and so she doesn't want this to happen. And it's a little difficult for us to believe that she was really all this hospitable that she wanted to help Saul, so much as she wanted to get him out of her house. So he's certainly in a terrible condition. This woman recognized it, but she's one of the only people around to give him comfort. So what a terrible plight he's in now, that he has such a poor character to be his source of comfort. But the woman reasons with him, and she said unto him, behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me. So here's the line of her reasoning. I have put my life in my hands to obey what you wanted. I did what you wanted. I followed your command. It was a hard thing for me to do, but I did it. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. So now she says, you listen to me. I listened to you. I did what you wanted. I put my life in my hand to do your desire. Now you listen to me and do what I say. Let's turn this thing around and you obey my voice. I want you to eat something. Let me set a morsel of bread before thee and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. You need to go. You need to be able to have some strength. And this is one of the ways you're going to get it, is by eating. Let me give you something to eat. But he refused and said, I will not eat. It seemed that Saul had not only lost his will to live, he'd lost his will to eat, he'd lost his will to be even able to continue to go back to his army. He may have preferred to have died here as a coward, as a result of starvation, than to have returned back and died at the hands of the Philistines. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him. That is, they persuaded him to listen to reason, to listen to their advice, and then Saul finally does listen to them. He hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. So now they at least have him up off the ground. He's sitting on the side of the bed now. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it. Now, In that day and time, of course, it did not have refrigeration. In order to be able to have meat when they wanted it, they would have a fat calf available. And this doesn't mean that they had meat every day or even very often. But on those occasions when they wanted it, special occasions, and they would kill the calf and eat of it immediately before it had time to spoil. And so they could, upon occasion, have meat. And they didn't eat meat nearly as often as we eat it today. They didn't have the deep freezes and able to have meat every meal. But upon occasion, they could have a calf to kill and to eat. This is much like the case of the prodigal son when he came home. The father killed the fatted calf for the prodigal son. But remember, the brother, who had stayed there all along, said, "You never kill the fatted calf for me." And so we know that it wasn't an everyday staple of the diet, but it was an occasional thing that they did eat. So she hasted and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. They didn't have time for the leaven to rise and have leavened bread, so it was unleavened bread. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. So she did give them hospitality, regardless of what her motive might have been. They were able to eat, and it looks like it was a very good, hearty meal. Then they rose up and went away that night. So after eating, after Saul has a chance to gain a little strength from food and also to reconcile himself to the message that he's received, they rose up and went away that night. Now we would think that the average person, having received a message like this that Saul had just received, certainly if they believe this message, then they would take some kind of steps to reconcile themselves to God. What can I do to make myself acceptable in the sight of God? How can I repent? How can I get back into the good graces? How can I have the mercies of God again given to me? What do I need to do? But Saul seemingly makes no move in that direction. As so many, many wicked persons, once realizing that he's condemned, once realizing that he's doomed to die, then makes no move toward reconciling himself to God. And so that concludes the 28th chapter of